welcome back to Bit by Bit, here for our bi-weekly podcast. I'm Janet, here with Jess.
Hi, guys.
And this week we are going to be talking about our gaming bucket list. So what that means is things we want to do related to gaming before we die, basically, like any other bucket list. That sounds kind of morbid when I say it out loud, but that's basically what it is. So I'll start things off. On my gaming bucket list is owning an arcade machine, like in my house, but like probably like, you know, something, like maybe something on the smaller end. So there's like, you know, those like table ones where you can just have two people sit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, a table instead of like a full-on cabinet. You know, though, as great as it would be to own the Luigi's Mansion machine, it's $10,000 and it would take a lot of electricity, so like probably not. Or like the Pump It Up machine would be really cool, but I probably would just get something that's like Ms. Pac-Man and also like, you know, maybe Space Invaders or something else.
Ooh,
you know,
how they Space have like Invaders, those. Space Invaders, I would dig.
Yeah. You know, they have those cabinets where it's like multiple games in one cabinet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
So I'd get one of those. And or I think it'd be really cool. This is an idea I had like literally a few days ago, but do you know 8BitDo? The company 8BitDo? They like
I do know.
Yeah, they do those like little controllers that are Bluetooth enabled and they look old, but you can use them on modern consoles.
Uh-huh.
So they recently came out with, or they're about to come out with an arcade stick that's compatible with a Nintendo Switch.
Oh.
So I thought it would be cool if I bought that, and then, like, I mean, at some point in my life, bought that, eventually bought a Switch specifically for, to, like, build inside a cabinet, and, like, make my own Switch arcade, basically.
That would be awesome.
So that would be, like, also a lot of work and stuff, but I think it'd be cool because then I could, like, learn, you know, more about making an arcade cabinet, like my own arcade cabinet. I think that'd be pretty cool. So
it's like your version of building your own PC.
Yeah, exactly. Like a retro version of that. So so that's on my gaming bucket list.
You know, if you had one of the arcade machines, it'd be like that episode of Friends.
Yeah,
Chandler gets the claw.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good episode.
That'd be really good. So for me, one of the first things that came to mind was something that's like very relevant to my current lifestyle. I really, really want to get Grandmaster rank in Overwatch. Like, I've never wanted to be good at a game so bad. And I'm not bad at the game.
What is Grandmaster rank and what does it take to get it?
Okay, so in Overwatch, mm-hmm. there's competitive, you know, the competitive seasons. So in each season, you have to play a number of, like, qualifying matches,
mm-hmm.
and then you get placed in a rank level. And so there's, like, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, you know, diamond, or that might not be the actual order. I'm pretty sure it is, though. And then there's, like, master and grandmaster.
Wow.
And I'm at gold. I almost worked my way up to platinum this season. It's my first season playing. I was very proud of myself. And so I think it'll be platinum next season, but that's like still only halfway to Grandmaster. And I just can't even like fathom the amount of skill necessary to be a Grandmaster, but whatever it is, I want that. I want to be at that level so badly.
Is it determined by like a number of wins?
Or
is it like how you play?
Yeah, sorry, I guess that wasn't very clear. It's like, like, based on a number of things, it's kind of complicated, so mm-hmm. I don't know all of it, but I know it's, like, partly based off of, like, your team winning. So you mm-hmm. get points when your team wins, but you can get more points if your, like, personal skill level is really good. So, like, if you're really kind of carrying your team, you'll get more points.
Right, right.
But what's most important is that you win the mm-hmm. game. So even though it's a team game, it's most important that you win. And it also, like, matters who you're playing against. Like, mm-hmm. if the other team has, like, a lot higher average ranking than your team and you beat them, you get a lot more points, or you, like, lose less points if you lose to a really hard team, if that makes
sense. Okay, cool.
So your ranking goes up and down when you lose.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be really frustrating to, like, kind of, like, balloon up and down. Mm-hmm. And but I don't know. It's really rewarding. And I don't even really exactly understand what you get for being a Grandmaster besides, like, being Grandmaster. I know there's like golden weapons and stuff. Like, you can get for Mei, like, golden weapon where she sprays, like, golden snow and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
that's cool. And I know that has to do with, like, some of the other types of, like, points you accumulate when you play competitive games. But I don't care what else you get. I just want to be a Grandmaster.
Maybe you can get recruited for one of the North American Overwatch teams.
Yeah, that's
probably
like
wouldn't
it would
need,
take my entire
need,
life.
At least need the Grandmaster
at
rank
least,
to do that.
If not more. Plus, they've already, like, drafted everyone. So it's, like,
yeah, but they're always looking for more talent and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
you gotta start in the minors and work your way up. Yeah, so.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So, my next one, this is also specifically game-related, and I'm not sure if I, like, how committed I am to this, but I think it would be cool, so I'm going to go ahead and put it on my gaming bucket list right now. getting 100% in Breath of the Wild, I think, would be cool.
What does that mean?
So, what it would entail would be getting all the shrines, you know, being the main campaign, so, like, killing Ganon, getting all the shrines, and getting all the Korok seeds. So, the Korok seeds, there's, like, 900 in the game or something, and you have to go find them. but it's not, like, impossible now, because they, like, I'll get the DLC also for this, so then I don't have to do the DLCs as well in my mind for, like, finishing this. Because one of the DLCs, you, like, get extra stuff. Oh. And one of them is the Korok mask. And if you wear that mask in the game, it, like, helps you find the seeds a little bit. So, like, that can, you know, I'm not going to really...
really speed it up.
Yeah. And it would have to, because they're really, like, really obscure. So, like, if, you know, for those people who are, like, unfamiliar or haven't played Breath of the Wild yet, with the Korok seeds, they're, like, found via, like, tiny puzzles. So, like, it'll be something like... And you'll, like, start to see the patterns as you play the game and, like, learn more about the environment. So, like, one of the first kind of Korok seed puzzles I encountered was, like, there are, like, three little statues with you know, ceramic bowls in front of them. Two of the statues have an apple, but one doesn't have an apple. So you're like, I should probably put an apple in the one that doesn't have one. And then the little, what are those things called? You know, little cute green sprites?
Oh, you know, I don't know if they're called either, because I'm not, like, that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But
they're adorable. Those little guys come up and they're like, hello, and they give you a quark seed. So,
oh, cute.
And then also I'd want to cover all of the maps. So another thing you get with the DLC is you get to see the hero's path. So you see, they'll show you what have you covered in the game. Like, every step you take was traced, which is kind of creepy and weird. But so you'll get to see areas you didn't go to. So it would also involve me going to all of those areas.
How long do you think that would take?
For me, probably like 1,000 hours, if not more. Because I've already put 79 hours into the game, and I'm not done with the main campaign yet.
Wow.
And I also, personally for me, like, this isn't part of the 100% thing, but I would also want to get all of the outfits that I desire, which is almost all the outfits anyway. So,
right.
So, yeah.
Some options.
So it'd be a while, I think.
That'd be really cool. For me, I think this one's a little weird, but, like, before I die, I want to have The Sims out of my system. I don't want to be plagued by The Sims anymore.
That's not going to happen.
No,
though.
No.
But how are you going to go about that?
I don't know. Okay, because it's like this. I basically, okay, the goal is this, and I'll explain the possible methods. The goal is to completely avoid any future occurrence of me thinking, you know what I should do right now? Play The Sims. Like, I never want to have that thought again, because I have that thought all the time, even though I know that I don't want to play Sims, first of all, and also that playing Sims will ruin my life. I know both of those things, but I still think, you know what I should do? Play The Sims. And I want that to stop happening. And I don't know for sure how this can happen, but I feel like I kind of have to, like, play it so much that I hate myself. Or...
I thought that already happened.
Like, even more. Like, because eventually I do stop. I mean, like, go past that point of no return. Like, just go all the way past it. So, like, maybe, like, just, like, in an ideal world, just, like, don't go to work for 2 weeks and only play The Sims and nothing but The Sims and that's it. And then maybe be done for the rest of your life. Or I think I need to have some sort of, like, because, you know, I'm really bad at finishing games. Mm-hmm. And same way with Sims. You can't really finish Sims, but I get, like, these grand ideas of what I can do in Sims. And I, like, get, like, a third of the way there. I'm, like, setting up these family dynamics and, like, creating all these lines and, like, building stuff and whatever. And then I'm like, nah. And I stop. And then, so then I feel unfinished. That's why I keep going back to Sims, because I've never completed the, like, this, like, yearning in my heart, like, for Sims. So I need to, like, complete something in Sims in such a way that, like, I feel done with it. I don't know if it can ever happen, but that's my greatest desire.
Why do you want to be done with it?
Because, I've mentioned this before on the channel, but, like, every time I get on The Sims, I, like, know my life's not going to be good for a while, and and I know that, like, so basically what'll happen is I'll get on The Sims and I'll play for a little bit. I think this is fine. I can pace myself or whatever. But then I don't do anything except for play The Sims for a while. And I neglect everything else in my life. And I sit there thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I playing a game that's living someone else's life instead of living my own life? And then I'll, like, take a step back for like 20 minutes, I'll go take a shower, get some food or something, and I'll think, I'm done. It's over. I'm done. And then as soon as I'm done doing that thing, I get right back on The Sims, and I play for 10 more hours straight.
So you don't want to ever go back into the stupor?
No.
Like,
I'm psychotic. I'm psychotic with it so much that I can't get off, but it's making me grumpy, but I can't get off the game. I feel inhuman when I'm playing The Sims. And also, I don't have time for that in my life anymore.
So ironic, because it's all about
I know. It's so bad. I used to be able to do it because I had, like, summers and stuff off, but I don't anymore, which is nice. But I feel like it's just going to implode my life one day out of nowhere, and I'm scared. So, anyway, I want to remove it. I want to get it out. Yeah, what about you? Anything as weird as that?
Some big goals. I don't think so, but I do want, this is literally the order I wrote my stuff in, I do want to own a lot of Game Boys. That's it. Game, like the Game Boy Pocket.
Oh, the, like the consoles.
Yeah.
I thought you were like Game Boys.
Like human boys? No, I don't, no thank you.
I was like, what?
No.
That's why I was looking at you like that.
No, like.
For those of you on the podcast, I was looking at Janet in such a way.
Yeah, like, mostly the game, like the original Game Boy and the Game Boy Pocket, but might dip into GBA a little bit. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay.
But I want, like, a bunch of, like, I want one original Game Boy, like, a big clunky one. Because I've never actually owned one of the big clunky ones. My brother did. I didn't want it. It's ugly. It's horrible console. It's terrible. It's giant.
Yeah,
it's gross.
I never had those.
But I want it, like, for the culture, you know? And then I want a bunch of Game Boy Pockets, all of different colors. Just, like, a bunch of different colors.
Would you
colors.
Put them on, like, display? Or would you, like, switch them out and play on different ones at different times? Or just play on one and then have the rest as, like, art?
I probably mainly play on one, but sometimes play on different ones. I can't imagine myself, like, playing a whole lot of, like, how much Game Boy Pocket will I really be playing in my life? You know, probably not.
It's more of like a decorative installment.
Yeah, I would think I'd mainly have them decorative. I'd probably get one modded and backlit. Though I'm going to do that with a GBA more so, because it makes more sense, like, you know, and it's more comfortable than the Game Boy Pocket is to hold. And then I'd also get the GBA games, which, you know, I love the GBA. So I, like, maybe would get one of those modded, just because. But yeah, they're mainly just decorative. Like, I love the Game Boy Pocket. I think it's such a cute console, and they're fairly cheap. Like, you can get a Game Boy Pocket for, like as low as $20 or $30, and for as high as $50 or $60, so it's really not that expensive.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, so I don't want to own, like, it would be nice to own all of them, but I know myself, and I know I'm not going to want to make that investment, and it would be so hard, because I'd have to decide, like, am I just doing American releases? Am I counting, like, super special limited run thing? You know,
might
it's,
really
like,
hard to find.
Yeah, and expensive, and then are we also counting, like, stuff overseas, because it's a whole other thing. So, I don't, there's been so many of them, I think it would just be too crazy to take on, but I would want a bunch of them, and then I can put them on display, and just have a bunch of Game Boys. I think it would just look nice to have,
it
like,
would look nice.
Even just, like, a dozen Game Boys. Like, it doesn't have to get, like, crazy, but just a nice collection of that would be good.
That'd be cool. Speaking of decorative things, I would love to get a gamer tattoo at some point, like something that like represents like like my connection to gaming in some way. But the only problem is like I don't really know what that would be. I know the kind of like style of like tattoos that I'm interested in is like really minimalist and only like in black and like a lot of blank space and like, you know, I have it like a sense of a like artistic concept for tattoos, but I don't know first of all like what game I would even get, because for a while I was thinking maybe I'd get a Mass Effect tattoo, and then I played Mass Effect Andromeda, and then I like had this like horrible like sense of like loss, and then I was like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't get that Mass Effect tattoo, and I don't know that I can ever be sure that won't happen with something else. So I feel like I'd almost rather have like a general, like, something more general, but I also don't want to do something lame. I'm like, oh, I got just a controller on my arm. It's like, okay, whatever, you know? Like, if it's something really basic, I want it to be stylized in a certain way, or I don't know. I really have to think about it, but I definitely want a tattoo that is, like, a gamer tattoo, and I, like, I don't know.
It's hard to figure out.
It's hard to figure out, but I'm going to do it.
There's also, like, no offense to, like, every person I've ever met who games. I feel like it's hard to, like, come across good ones.
No, they usually look kind of bad.
Yeah, or like they just, I'm like, oh.
Or they're pretty basic.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they just kind of lack inspiration some ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it is hard to find like a franchise that you're going to commit to. Like, I love this franchise so much, it's tatted on my arm. It's like, it's intense, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's really intense.
Yeah, it's a little difficult, but yeah, it's a good one.
Okay.
For me, my next one would be just to go to a convention. It's pretty easy to do before I die. But I've actually never been to a gaming convention
ever,
or really any convention. technically. I mean, I've been to, like, running expos, but, like, that's not... They weren't, like, conventions. They were, like, expos based on... Like, for those of you guys who don't know, like, if you register for a race that's big enough, you pick your packet up at an expo. Like, for us, it was just at, like, a Fleet Feet, but... when they're bigger, they'd be, like, an expo at McCormick Place. And it's just, like, you get your packet, and then there's, like, a bunch of different, like, organizations around. So that's not really a convention, but it's, like, close, you know. It's, like, getting there almost. I've been to, like, the area, you know, the auto show, but it's also not a convention, you know. It's just kind of, like, a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd love to go to a convention. Conventions I want to go to offhand. There's, I forgot the name of it, but that girl one.
Gamer Girl Expo.
Is it Gamer Girl Expo? I thought it was Geek Girl Con? Geek Girl Con, I think, or something? So. I don't know.
Well, we can link it.
Maybe I'll do a quick Google of it at some point. But yeah, it's in Seattle, though.
Reason we don't remember what it's called is because we considered going literally a year ago and haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But we couldn't.
And it had a name that, like, had to do with women and either games or, like, nerddom. But
also,
I don't
going
know.
To Seattle would be awesome. I would love to go to Seattle.
Plane tickets are really expensive, though, because it's not like a weird area.
You gotta take off work, and it's a whole thing.
Just the plane. No, it's just the plane ticket's like literally like $300. Like, I cannot find it cheap. Like, the cheapest it gets is like $150, $200. But it's a separate issue. Anyway, but I don't want to go to that con. There's also like there's too many games in like Philadelphia. That one seems cool. And then obviously there's like the general ones like PAX and stuff like that, which I'm sure would be fun. So definitely want to go to some of those at some point. Seems like it'd be cool.
Seems fair. Okay, so this one's, like, kind of a bigger one, but it's one I'm really interested in. I really want to make a game, and mostly because I don't know how much I've talked to this on the channel before, but I've talked with Janet about it a lot, but I want to, like, write for games, like, the content for games, like, the narrative content for games, but in a lot of ways, like, it's hard to, like, do that if you don't have a strong concept of, like, coding or like the way games are made, like on the technical side, and I don't know, I guess I've been really inspired by like Stardew Valley was made like by one person and I love it, and then of course with like Ooblets coming out, and we had our whole video on Rebecca Accordingly, and just like, I don't know, getting to like read all the stuff and interviews with her talking about like why she decided to, you know, go out there and start making games. And definitely something that can be done on a smaller level. I don't know that I'm going to, like, make the next Ooblets. Like, that seems, like, intense. But it's something small. Even if it's, like, not a game that... I don't mean, like, I need to make a game that, like, sells. I just want to make a game that functions, I guess. And
harder than you would think.
Yeah, no, really. Because I'm really not very tech savvy. I'm tech savvy enough to, like, be a millennial. But, like, that's it. And, like, there's, like, that's a base level. It's like, this is, now you're allowed in the club.
You can make some memes, but.
Yeah, exactly. And barely that. It's something I want to do, just partly as an interest in getting more involved in that sort of, industry. And I just kind of want to see where it goes. I write, and I have a creative writing degree, something I probably also haven't mentioned before on our channel. And I'm really interested in, like, gaming as, like, a narrative form or, like, an art form. And I just kind of want to explore that option a little bit. So that's on my bucket list.
Cool. Do you have any ideas for, like, what your game...
It would be narratively strong.
Just a narrative-based game. Yeah, like a visual novel?
I've thought about doing a visual novel, but I do want something that has, like, a... definitely something with, like, more of an indie feel, which would make sense since I'm, like, a single human being. But... I don't know. It's something I need to explore a little bit of. It's something that's highly choice-based. Those are my favorite kind of games. So it could be a visual novel, but I wouldn't mind a couple of actual, like mechanics as opposed to sort of, like, just telling a story. Because I could do that in a number of different forms. I want something that, like, is a story that feels like it can only be told
in a
video game.
Cool.
Yeah.
For myself, I also have... let's see. I guess I'll have go to E3. But, like, not the... the expo's fine, and you can go, especially now, because they just opened it to the public. So, yay.
Woo.
I guess. But more so than that, I'd want to go, like, to the, like, the conference itself, which is, like, really hard to do. They don't let a lot of people do that, like, even if you are in games media. But, like, I want to do that because it's something I've always, like, wanted to do, like, my whole life. Like, when I was a kid, I thought it was so cool, like, watching E3 at home. And I'm like, wow, it'd be great to be, like, in the audience when they're, like, making those announcements and stuff. Though now I know, also, if you're, like, really in games media, like, you already know, like, everything from E3. Because they have, like, that, I forgot the word for it, but that thing where they show, everyone before E3.
It's like a briefing.
I forgot the name of that. But yeah, that's like a thing that happens. So I guess that takes a little bit of the magic away from it, but I always thought it would be cool to be like at the conference itself.
But also like the networking potential and getting to like, I know that's like, lots of that's at the expo too, but like having that sort of clearance opens a lot of doors for like being able to talk to people you wouldn't normally be able to talk
to. Yeah, for sure.
That could be really cool.
Yeah, the practical reason is that I just want to go. Like if you could tell me like I can go like right now, even though I have no like anything, I'm like, let's go. I'm going to go right now. Yeah, I always thought that would be cool.
Oh, okay. This is, like, somewhat related to my last one, but I do kind of want to study games in some, like, academic setting or, like, an academic forum. I have mentioned this on the channel before. My senior year of college, I did, like, a block, which for us is, like a three-week period that we have a class for. I did a block on, like, narrative design in video games. Shocking! And I enjoyed that a little bit, but there wasn't really any structure for that at our school because we didn't have any, like, game studies at our school. And so it was mostly, like, it was an English class where I was kind of, like, relating English to video games. But I wouldn't mind studying video games either, like, just, like, the technical side of video games, like I mentioned, like, in an academic setting or taking a class at a college or, like, even, like, a community college or even an online class, I guess. I don't really know what kind of stuff is available for that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, I might, like, eventually want to get, like, a master's in game writing. There is stuff, there are programs like that cropping up nowadays, more and more commonly because narrative design is becoming more important in the video gaming industry. And I don't know, something that either on a small level or a large level, I want to, like get my nerd on with video games. I love academia, I just do, so.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Nice. Yeah. For me, my last one would be competing in a legitimate gaming tournament. And by legitimate, I mean, like, someone puts it on that isn't, like, myself and my friends, like, at my apartment. Like, that doesn't, you know, count to me. I almost did that with Splatoon 2 when I went to that, like, which I've mentioned on the channel before. But, like, when I went to that Splatoon 2 meetup. But it was, like, a meetup slash tournament, but more of a meetup than a tournament.
It wasn't,
like,
casual.
Yeah, it was very casual, which was good for a first thing because I was like, I don't know. So
what, when you say competition, are you talking like when they've got like every like all these the crazy computers out and everyone's like in their gamer gear and there's like the lights and stuff? And
isn't it like Evo?
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what's the level? What does that mean? I don't know much about competitive gaming, despite my desire to be a grandmaster and Overwatch.
I know. Sorry, guys. I'm getting off of a cold. That's why I've coughed a couple times on the podcast. But yeah, it isn't. I mean, there's different levels of it. Like, obviously, there's like the big stuff like Evo or like whatever. It can be put on by just like any org or group or whatever. So, like, for instance, like, back when there was, what was it called? Geek Bar, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like,
it's,
Geek Bar.
It's dead now.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's, that's like a...
It's a...
Saved by the Bell pop-up that never pops down. yeah. So, like, they had, like, a Mario Kart tournament, and, like, that was just, like, official in the sense that, like, it's, like, a thing you go to, and you, like, kind of sign up, and then you compete.
I wish I could have gone. Catherine and I would have crushed
you. You would have, because it was Mario Kart Wii, so you would have been so... Yeah, you would have been really good.
We're stupid good. Sorry, we are. Me, Catherine.
Yeah, so something like that, just where it's, like, oh, there's a winner, and, like, usually with stuff like that, there is a prize involved, either, like, a ticket to something or money. Sometimes with tournaments, you also have to put in money, but usually it's like, you know, like $5-$10. It's not anything crazy. So just anything like that I'd want to go to.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And I would want to do that, hopefully for Splatoon 2, cause I love that game and I want to get pretty good at it. So hopefully I can, and even, I don't need to like do well in the tournament. I just want to like feel like I'm good enough to like be able to go cause it's a game that I like, which for me, that's basically just Splatoon 2 and like, I like Mario Kart and I would do a Mario Kart 8 tournament, but I like know that I'm not like, not on that extra level. And I know that because when I play online, it doesn't always go that well. It almost never goes that well, actually. So I know I'm not, like, actually on that level. But it would still be fun. It's an easy enough game that I feel like I could compete in it, as opposed to, like, other games that I'm just not going to be into. Like, Street Fighter is really popular. Like, I don't do Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or anything like that. So.
Right.
But, yeah, I'd want to do that at some point.
Hmm. Sounds cool. My last one is probably a pretty basic, like, bucket list goal for a lot of gamers, especially broke gamers, but, I want to have, like, my gaming computer set up. I've been dreaming about this for years, ever since I interned at the the Gazette in Cedar Rapids when I was a junior in college. I was like, okay, I need this two-screen setup because it was, like, insane. I'm like, I don't even know how to make this technology work. I can take this window and drag it over here, and it's, like, a whole other screen, and I still don't understand how it happens because it's, like, jumping through, like, real space. I know that's not how it works, but that's what it feels like, and I love it. And I love all the, like, all the space you have. I'm like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's enough room for everything in my brain for once. Plus, with gaming, it'd be really cool to have a two-screen setup because you could have, like tips and tricks or guides or whatever, and you have this on the screen here, or you can have like a chat group open and like playing over here. And I also want a computer that like can function appropriately while I game. And you know, to be honest, I don't like playing like what I consider console games like on the computer. Like, I don't want to play Overwatch on the computer. I know there's a strong community that plays Overwatch on the computer, but for me, if it has a strong enough following on a console and it functions perfectly fine on a console, I don't really want to play it on the PC. I mostly want a gaming PC for indie games, which you obviously don't need usually that good of a computer for indie games because they're not as like
demanding.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. But also for a couple of other types of games that I either like don't have the console for because I'm an Xbox One player, or because you know, I feel like it's also easier to get like older games or, you know, just stuff like that. And I want to have the option. I feel kind of like cut off from a number of avenues without having a computer I can game on. My computer can hardly function with word processor. So
yeah,
I have a hard time with games. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Let us know what's on your guys' gaming bucket list, or if you have, you know, stuff in common with our gaming bucket list. If you have suggestions for how to get Sims out of your systems, or what tattoo Jess should get.
If any of you say a Sims tattoo, I'm done.
So. Yeah, the little green thing, right?
No!
Definitely let us know. You can let us know in the comments on our YouTube channel, or just let us know on social media. We will see you guys here in 2 weeks for our next podcast, and next week for another video.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.
If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to hit thumbs up and subscribe. That's youtube.com/bitbybit. If you're listening to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic, be sure to leave us a rating.
And of course, you can always talk to us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at bitbybitgaming, and we are on Facebook at bitbybitgamers.
And you can check us out on our official website, bitbybitgamers.com, for the occasional blog post and exclusive content.
Thanks for tuning in.